Welcome to Harmony Primitive Baptist Church. This recording was made during our 2010 fall meeting.
If you'll pray for us. Here a while back, we were having Bible study in Arkadelphia, and we've been meeting over there for about a year and a half or so, and we got gathered in there one night, and I was just looking around and thinking about all the people that were there and the effort that they had to go through in order to be there at 7 o'clock. People have had to work. I had had to work, and that's all. That's fine. I'm not griping about that. But you know, people have to work. Got to rush around. Isn't that right? Got to get supper. The ladies, whatever they're going to do for supper, and you know that's hard on the ladies. And the men have got to june around and get over there and in time to sit and hear me talk about the Bible. And by the way, that's perfectly okay. Bible studies are a wonderful way of teaching the Word of God. That's why Jesus Christ had them everywhere He went. But anyway, and they were all sitting around there, and I just thanked them that night. I said, I thank you all for being here tonight, and I said, I realize you had to make it happen. You had to make it happen. Well, wouldn't you all say amen to that maybe a little bit, at least a little bit? I mean, they had to june around. They had to get away from work. They had to go home, take a shower, shave, eat, scarf it down, like my son Seth, without even tasting it. And then, in order to be over there in time, and I just thanked them because I knew that they were there and that they had sacrificed. Would you say amen? They had sacrificed. They had put their own comfort aside. So that got me to thinking, and what I want to try to say tonight is the following. Because of what we are as regenerate people, if we're ever going to serve God, there's a sense in which we have to make it happen.
Amen.
I hope that you will not wait till God gets you by the hair of the head and completely overpowers you before you decide you're going to serve the Lord. Because you may be waiting a while. You don't understand what I'm saying? And I've heard those stories, haven't you? Okay, so that's what I want to try to talk to you about. Whew. And I know this is... But also I want to tell you it's worth it. It's worth it.
Amen.
Now, but what I want to... Okay, so I'm going to start out here, and Brother Harold told me I could preach as long as I felt like the Lord was with me, but that's tough, because I know y'all want to hear Him, and I want to hear Him. So you pray that I'll be able to get this together, and okay. Now, I want to start out by telling you about the nature of the regenerate man. If you're here tonight, and you love God... I'd almost tell you to raise your hand. But if you're here, you don't have to raise your hand. But it wouldn't hurt if you did. But anyway, if you're here and you love the Lord, man, I'm telling you I love Him. And I love Him inside. Come on now. There's no shame in you saying you love the Lord. And if you've got if you feel guilt toward God when you sin, and do you love Jesus Christ? Do you believe He was the Son of God? I want you to know you're saved. You're born of God.
Amen.
Or to put it in other words, you are no longer totally depraved.
Amen.
You're not totally depraved anymore.
That's right.
Now, I think I know what the Bible says about being totally depraved. But I'm telling you, if you love the Lord and you're here tonight and the gospel... Has the gospel ever meant anything to you?
Yes.
If the gospel has ever meant something to you, I want you to know you're not totally depraved.
That's right. Amen.
You are a saved person.
Amen.
Heaven's going to be your home. Because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Plus nothing, by the way.
Amen.
We're not on the Jesus plus system.
Nope.
Hallelujah.
Right. Amen.
Jesus' blood was plenty.
Amen.
Got the job done.
Amen.
Okay, now, y'all look. But if you're a born-again child of God, guess what? Paul describes you in Romans chapter 7 as almost bipolar. I mean, you know, you're like a schizophrenic.
Yeah, right.
But that may not be right. But, you know, you cannot read Romans chapter 7 without understanding that Paul has two natures.
Right.
There is no other way to understand Romans chapter 7. I mean, it's just double talk gobbledygook if you don't realize he's talking about the fact he's got two natures. He even describes one of them as the law of God. The other one, the law of sin. And here's how he describes it. He says, I delight in the law of God after the inward man.
Yeah,
did y'all hear that? The inward man. It is described as the inward man in 2 Corinthians, I believe it is. And also in the book of Ephesians, which is my favorite. This creature that he's describing, that God gave you in regeneration, is there described as the inward man. It's described as the inner man and described as the inward man in another place. And then he says, I delight in the law of God after the inward man. In other words, something good inside me. But I see another law in my members. By the way, can you relate to this? And if you can relate to it, you're one of God's.
That's right.
That's that. That's final. Okay. Don't go around saying you hope you are or you wish, because that's hoping you one day will be. I understand that. Let's just, come on, it's really important that the child of God understand he or she is a child of God.
Amen.
That's just real important. Okay, all right. I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who should deliver me? Okay. Paul's saying, I've got an inward man. And he's saying right here, he describes that as he delights in the law of God in there. All right, he describes his flesh, which obviously I think in the context would be his outer man. Come on now.
Amen.
His outer man. He describes that as in sin. Now that's you. That's you. You got two natures. They're fighting against each other. And the good one, y'all, is inside. Isn't that right?
Amen.
Okay, now. All right, now y'all, I want you to go home. I'm just going to read that right there, and I'm going to refer you to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, like I said a minute ago, and also Ephesians, I believe, chapter 3, where it talks about the inward man or the inner man. All right? By the way, incidentally, I'm going to tell you that the inward man is the real you.
Amen.
It's the real you. It's the you that's going to live with God forever. It's the real you. And it's... Okay, now, the other verses I want to read are in Romans chapter 8. Y'all bear with me. In Romans chapter 8, Paul describes the same situation, in my opinion. And he talks about, and by the way, before I read this, you know, it says over there in Corinthians 7, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, right? If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, old things passed, all that. Okay, so that word creature there means creation, doesn't it? If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Because that act that God Almighty performed on you when He gave you that inner man is a creative act. It is the same. It took the same power to do that that it did to create the universe, in my opinion. It is a let there be light. And there was light in your soul. Come on now. That's what happened. It's like the dead baby in Ezekiel chapter 16. The Lord passed by and said, live. The baby commenced living right there. It's an irresistible. That's what we believe, isn't it? That the grace of God comes to the dead person, the person that's dead in sins, the elect person dead in sins, and God gives them life by His immediate operation of Holy Spirit. Without any, y'all, praise God, it doesn't have any human goings on to get that work done. And that's why we believe that there are people in every nation, kindred, tribe, tongue, and family under heaven, because that's what the Bible teaches. We don't believe that because it's primitive Baptist. Come on now. We believe it because it's taught in the Bible. Isn't that right? When I talk to people that don't know what we believe, I never tell them. I never, 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 never tell them. This is what primitive Baptists believe. Never. Because nobody cares. I'm serious. What matters is, what does the Bible teach? Now, I want you to know, I believe I'm among a people that believe what the Bible teaches more than any other people. I want you to know that. Okay. That takes me a long time. Okay. So, here's Paul talking about this situation now. He says, verse 18, Romans chapter 8, I reckon that suffering this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that should be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature. Now that, my brothers and sisters, is the new creature. It is not plants and animals. It is not the universe. The earnest expectation of the creation. By the way, this is corroborated that and seconded or whatever in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, where it talks about our house, which is dissolved. We have a building, you know, okay? And it talks about we're being delivered, our new creature, the inner man being delivered from the flesh. I haven't forgotten my subject. My subject is you got to make it happen. Don't forget that. That's where I'm going. But I'm trying to explain to you why you got to make it happen. Everybody with me now?
Amen.
Well, I appreciate it. Okay. All right. The earnest expectation of the creature, the earnest expectation of the new creature, waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. It's waiting. And it's groaning over there in Corinthians. It says it groans.
Yes, it does.
And you know what it wants? To be set free. That's what it wants. Okay. All right. For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the new creature. Y'all listen to me now. Was made subject to vanity. Okay. Now, if that, as I believe it is, if that is talking about the inward man that Paul mentioned a minute ago, the inner man, the inward man. Okay. That is inside the outward man. Right?
Yes.
Okay, if that's what that's talking about, I'm telling you, the new creature was made subject to the flesh, your body. Come on now. All right. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him that is God, who has subjected the same in hope of I'm adding this, of one day being delivered from it and going into the presence of God. Now, I'll tell you something else I believe, and I believe you believe this too. That when God gave you eternal life and He spoke life into your soul and He gave you this new creature inside, which is called the inner man, the inward man, that person that He created inside there, that new being, that new creature, was as perfect as it would ever get.
Amen.
It's described in Ephesians chapter 4 as created in the image of God. I believe Romans 8 teaches us glorified as it will ever be. And by the way, can I throw something out here, my friends? Listen. It's as glorified from the moment God gave you eternal life. That new creature was ready to go home and be with God.
Amen.
It is fitted to go home and be with God. Come on now.
Amen.
Do you believe that?
Amen.
I mean, do you or do we not believe that the moment the body can no longer sustain life, it goes home to be with God,
amen,
even if you're an aborted infant?
That's right. Amen.
Right?
Yeah.
Mm. I tell you, I'm thankful to believe that. I'm thankful to believe the grace of God reaches where man can't reach. I sure am. Okay, now, y'all. Why do you got to make it happen? Why? Let me ask you another question. Why is it that you do not have to think to say something ugly to your wife? Have you ever thought about that? You will, if you're not just watching yourself, you will smart off to your wife and it's not even premeditated.
Amen.
You don't even have to think about it. Do you?
That's right.
And you wives might smart off to y'all's husbands. I don't know. I reckon that's remotely possible.
Might.
No, Brother Harrelson's not at his house. Me and Maul doesn't do that. Well, I bet she's the only woman in here that doesn't. Well, y'all, am I telling you the truth? How come? Why is that like that? How come? Are you a child of God? I tell you, you're a child of God. Well, why is that like that? Why is your natural reaction, the automatic, shall I say, unconscious thing, wicked? Why is that? Because God has subjected your new creature to your flesh. And He had a sound reason to do that. Y'all listen to me. I believe God Almighty put your new creature in your house of clay, in your tabernacle of clay. Don't we believe that?
Yeah.
Haven't we been taught that all our lives?
Yeah.
God has put the new creature within your tabernacle of clay, and y'all, He made it subject to your flesh.
Right.
It's subject to it.
Yeah.
That means everywhere your flesh goes, it goes.
That's right.
And I tell you what else that means. That means it is not, while you are breathing, free to go to heaven. And that is a blessing. Listen, because if God had not made you a new creature subject to your flesh, the first good sermon you ever heard, you'd go to heaven and you'd be dead. Because y'all, it knows the way to heaven. As soon as your body can't sustain life, it's going to go to heaven. It's fitted to go to heaven. Y'all, it wants to go to heaven. Let me ask y'all, have y'all ever, while you was hearing a really good sermon or hearing a really good song service or maybe having a good prayer time with the Lord or reading your Bible anyway and you're feeling the Spirit of God, have you ever kind of wanted to just go on home and be with the Lord? Has that feeling ever come upon you? I mean, have you ever been a time when maybe your mouth is kind of watering to go on home and be with the Lord? Which, by the way, is far better.
Amen.
Has that ever happened? Well, what's causing you to think that way? That new creature. I promise you it's not your flesh. The Bible teaches that when you were given eternal life, your flesh did not profit by it.
Amen.
Come on now. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing.
Amen.
Your flesh isn't any better. Come on now. Is your flesh getting better? I'll tell you this story on Brother Harold. He's mean to me. He is mean to me. He is despicably mean to me. We've had to quit playing music. But when we were playing music one time, Brother Harold happened to be there. And he's smart enough about my white hair. He said, "You look like Becky's father. You look like the boy's grandpa." Well, sad but true. You know why? My flesh is getting worse and worse and worse. I'm 50 years old. I got white hair. I can't remember things. It's thank you, John. I can't remember things. Y'all, it's just pathetic.
Amen.
Cheryl Whitley's always after me at school because I'm older than her. I mean, it's constant. She's always after me. Well, y'all, I'm only saying, I mean, that's sort of funny, but is it not true that the flesh is decreasing, decaying, getting weaker? You see, and every one of you here, more than likely every one of you, I believe, are saved people, but your flesh is getting weaker. And in one of those texts it says the inward man is renewed day by day. What's that all about? Man, look at that. You got one part of you that cannot grow old. It's in the image of God, created in righteousness through holiness. I believe it's glorified, ready to go home and meet with God from the moment God spoke. Y'all, it doesn't have to hear the gospel to get glorified. Come on now. Say amen to that. The new creature does not have to hear the gospel to get glorified. Come on now. The gospel will do you good. We heard a good sermon on that, didn't we? The gospel will do you good, but it isn't going to fit you to go to heaven.
Amen.
It'll do you good, though. But by the way, how come it's so hard to hear the gospel? What's that? What's up with that? Why is that so hard? That's exactly right. Because your new creature is subject to your flesh.
Amen.
Y'all, listen, let me tell you what I believe that means. When I thought about this, I had to call several preachers to make sure I wasn't off my rocker. I did. I made the rounds. That means, y'all listen to me. I want this to soak in. That means your flesh is dominant. Unless you crucify it.
That's right.
I'm going to say that again. God has made your new creature subject to your flesh. As it were, submerged within it, contained inside it. Right? And God had to do that because if God hadn't have done that, I don't believe that new creature would stay there. Heaven's better and it knows it. It's the heaven's better. Okay? But your flesh, you listen, y'all, your flesh is, that's why you have this problem with saying things you shouldn't say and thinking things you should say. Do you ever doubt? Don't you sit there and tell me you don't doubt, because I know you do.
Amen.
You know what? You want to know why I know you do? Because you're just like all the rest of God's children. Yes, you doubt. And by the way, let me say something else right here. There are people that will stand in pulpits and say, well, if you're really saved, I mean really and truly saved, if you're really saved, you won't love sin no more. That is a lie.
Amen.
Because you've still got that flesh that you carry around with you. Everybody understand?
Amen.
That sounds good. Ain't a lick of truth to it. The saved person has got an inner man and an outer man. I'm not trying to belabor the whole thing. I want you to see what I'm driving at, though, now. Okay. So, and here, I believe in Romans 8, Paul is describing that thing, that new creature made subject to your flesh.
and the flesh is dominant unless you crucify the flesh. The flesh is dominant. That is, the fleshly carnal reaction is the first thing that will happen unless you suppress it.
Amen.
Come on now.
Yeah.
That's your experience, isn't it? Is that not your experience?
Yeah.
Okay. The creature was made subject to vanity, not willing, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself, that new creature, also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption, praise the Lord, into the glorious liberty of the children of God. We know the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together till now. Okay, now, I hope you understand what I'm saying. Now, in my opinion, this explains everything. This explains everything about the Christian experience. It explains it all. It explains why you still have evil thoughts at age 50. Well, I thought I was supposed to be getting better, 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 better. Well, Let me just address that, may I? Which part of me, if what I've said to you tonight is true, and I have an inner man that is created in righteousness, true holiness, glorified, ready to go and be with God. If somebody walks in here and blows my brains out, and I die on the spot, my new creature will go to heaven.
Amen.
And sometimes when I'm thinking straight, my mouth waters to go to heaven. I'm telling you right now. Okay, well now that what I was going to say just went away from me. Yeah, it happens to me too. 50 years old. Okay, maybe the Lord will bring that back to me. The flesh is dominant is what I'm trying to get you to understand. The flesh is dominant. Why is it so hard to pay attention? Why is it so hard to remember what you're doing even while you're trying to preach the gospel? What's up with that? You know, I mean, hey. All right, this new creature is going to be let out of me one day, but it's still in this house of clay. It's in this fleshly tabernacle. Okay, now, I think this explains everything about the Christian experience. I really, really do. Several things I want to mention right here, right quick, before I bring this to a close. And I'm telling you right now, if you're going to serve God, you got to make it happen. And this explains why you got to make it happen.
Amen.
Y'all, I'm telling you right now, I know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about why you're not getting better and better. That's what it was. Wait, all right, y'all, look, I've got a part of me which is created in right true holiness, ready to go and be with God. I got a part of me that's 50 years old, white hair, getting old and getting fat. No energy, can't think. I got me an outer man, I got me an inner man. Hey, which one of those two parts of me is supposedly getting better? Neither one is the answer to that question.
Amen.
Listen, the inner man can't get better. It's in the image of Christ.
Amen.
The outer man is decaying and perishing and getting weaker and older.
Amen.
Y'all understand me?
Amen.
So this what I'm trying to describe to you puts some false theology out of the picture, doesn't it?
Yep.
Y'all understand how this truth puts false theology out of the picture?
Right.
I'm telling you, and by the way, practice is also based on some sound theology. I love that. One thing I've learned in studying the Bible is that practice or duty, whatever you want to call it, and God's true theology are interwoven and cannot be separated.
Amen.
They just cannot be separated. Okay, so, y'all, here are some things I want to mention to you right quick that's as a result of this. Okay, one is that this is why the natural reaction is automatic. And if you're, and you listen, now you know I'm telling you the truth. Any of you ever had a cussing habit? Don't raise your hand. Any of you ever had a cussing habit?
Say shucks once in a while.
Say shucks once in a while, yeah, sure. Well, hey! Why is it that even when you're trying to quit it, you mash your finger and it's before you do you have, let me ask you, do you have to stop and think to cuss? Well, I think I believe I'll cuss now. I'm not trying, but I'm serious now. Do you? Or is it not just automatic? Unpremeditated. Why is that? You're a saved person. You love God. Isn't that right? You're a saved person. You love God. You love the household of faith. You love the Word of God. You love the kingdom of God. You hate sin down in there. Why is the sinful reaction the automatic one? It's because God has made your new creature subject to your flesh. That explains it, doesn't it? That explains why you are like you are. I think about that hymn, "Why Am I Thus?" This is why you're thus. This is why we're like we are. Okay. Now, so that's why carnal reactions are automatic, and it's also why, if you're going to make the proper spiritual reaction or say the proper spiritual thing, you got to stop and think about that. Now, don't you?
Yeah.
All right, I'll tell you this story. Here a while back, Becky spilled a crock pot full of chocolate gravy in the fan. You're
in the fan.
In the van. Not in the fan. But y'all, but let me tell you, it was all over the van, just like she had put it in the fan. I mean, it went in cracks and crevices and nooks and crannies. And bless her heart, she was afraid to tell me about it because she thought I'd get really mad at her. And you know, that would have been my natural reaction. It would have been my natural reaction. It'd have been automatic.
But
I thought about it first. I stopped and I thought. And I prayed. And the Lord let me not bite her head off about it. Why was that so hard for me? Because my new creature is also subject to my fallen flesh.
Amen.
Why? Why? That just explains everything. Explains everything, I tell you. So it explains why spiritual reactions are so difficult. This explains why when you hear a preacher tell you you ought to do something, your first reaction is, "I can't." That's a natural reaction. What's Brother Jesse said? The preacher said, "Give me some coffee." You got to. Was that Jesse said that? I like that. How come? Why is the natural reaction, even when you're hearing a gospel sermon, why is the natural reaction, "We can't do that"? Why is that? You want to know why? Because the new creature inside you, which knows you can and knows you should, is subject to the flesh. And the fleshly reaction is dominant. This explains why people can be born again and not even know it. This explains that. Doesn't it? Come on now. This explains how you can be born again and not even know it yet. Doesn't it? See how this answers all the questions? I'm telling you now. This also explains why it is that it is so easy to drift and go astray. Let me ask you, do you have to try to do that? I don't think I've ever heard anybody say, "You know, I believe I'm going to try and go astray a little." Come on, have you ever? That's preposterous. You know why it's preposterous? Because the automatic reaction, the automatic thing for us is to go astray.
Amen.
So if we don't go astray, what does that mean? You got to make it happen. Not going astray.
That's right.
You got to make it happen.
That's right.
Y'all understand me? I guess I better hurry up. I tell you what else this explains. Since you've got a new creature that's submerged in the flesh, encased in the flesh, subject to the flesh, this also explains why God's born-again people can believe things that are not true. Right? Isn't that right?
Yes.
You still got a carnal mind, don't you? Come on now. You got a carnal mind? You know what the carnal mind likes? False stuff. It's amazing, isn't it? Why is it that a born-again child of God can believe crazy stuff? Because the new creature, the mind of Christ, that which Paul called the law of the Spirit of God,
amen,
is subject to the flesh, and the flesh is dominant unless you crucify it.
That's right.
Okay? You know what else this explains? This explains why God's children all over this world can be practicing Muslims.
That's right.
And practicing pagans and still be God's children.
Amen. Amen.
This explains it.
That's right. This
might also explain why we as Primitive Baptists do so little. I know you don't want to hear that, and I didn't want to have to say that. But our automatic reaction is to stay where we are and not do anything to make the flesh uncomfortable. That's our automatic reaction. And I almost preached to you this weekend about, is there not a cause? And let me tell you, there is a cause.
Amen.
And I want you to know our job is to expand the kingdom of God. The cause is the cause of Christ. And every decision we make as individuals and local assemblies should be to advance the cause of Christ. And I know Primitive Baptists haven't thought about that, but we've got to change our thinking.
Amen.
Our job is to advance the cause of Christ.
Amen.
And why have we not? There have been people, I know, among us who have thought that way. But as a people, we've got to think that way. Do you know that's what the Bible, that's what Jesus and them did. It's what the first century church did. They realized that the job of the church is to expand the kingdom.
Amen.
I'm not talking about heaven, you know that.
That's right.
How come we resist that so much? Because the born-again part of you, which knows that's what we're supposed to be doing and wants to do that, is subject to the flesh. Now, this explains why you got to make it happen.
Amen.
This explains why you got to make it happen. Just let me say a few comments about that, and I'll yield to Brother Harold. Okay? You got to make it happen. If you're going to serve God, you got to make it happen. Now listen, God has worked in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. If you're born of God, come on now. If you're born of God, He has worked in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. And greater is He that is you than is He that is in the world.
That's right.
You have the power, the capacity, the ability to serve God. If you're a born again person, you have that power, that capacity. You have that ability. You have the ability not to scold your wife when she spills the chocolate gravy. You have that ability. Ain't nobody saying amen.
Amen.
Well, now, I'm telling you right now, you have it.
Yeah.
You have got that ability.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, if you're going to serve the Lord, you are going to have to make it happen. Now, listen. Let me say about this dual nature of you, okay? Please listen to me. I love you with all my heart. You understand that? Okay. The inner man part of you loves God. The inner being, the inward man, what is described in the Scriptures as the inward man, the inner being, loves God. It can never do anything other than love God.
Amen.
It's in the image of Christ. It loves God. It yearns and cries out for godliness and godly ways and godly things and godly information.
Amen.
It cries out for that. It will serve God. It will serve God. It will lead you to serve God. And by another thing this explains why it's so hard to hear the still small voice. Because it's a still small voice submerged in a rackety flesh that's crying out for everything other than the things of God. So your inner man loves God. It doesn't ever do anything but love God. Your outer man, your flesh, does not love God.
Amen.
It does not want to serve God. It will never want to. Come on now, say amen.
Right. Amen.
Your flesh will never want to serve God.
Right.
So let me tell you this. Y'all listen. Let me tell you this. For you to make it happen, I'm telling you, if you're here tonight and you know you ought to join the church, you're going to have to make it happen.
That's right.
You're going to have to walk that aisle, take the preacher by the hand, and say, I want to join the church.
Amen.
And if you know you ought to be reading the Bible more, you're going to have to make it happen.
That's right.
You're going to have to make it happen. It is not just going to automatically happen. Right?
Right.
I'm telling you, you serving God ain't going to automatically happen. You're not made that way. Now, yes, y'all listen. When you get to heaven, it'll automatically happen. That's one reason heaven's going to be so great. When you get to heaven, body, soul, and spirit, serving God is going to be automatic, just as automatic as you being carnal right here is now. And I love to think about that.
Amen.
But right now, you serving God is not automatic. It is not your automatic reaction. And if you're ever going to serve God, you're going to have to make it happen. If you're going to read the Bible more, you're going to have to make it happen. You're going to pray more, you're going to have to make it happen. You're going to be nicer to your wife, you're going to have to make it happen. If you're never going to miss church, you're going to have to make it happen.
Amen.
If you're going to be on time to church, I'm wondering if Donaldson has people late to church. Anybody here ever late to church? Shame on you! Shame on you if you're late to church all the time. I know that's wrong. Just let me ask you this. What are you telling God if you can't get to church on time?
Amen.
What are you telling God? You know, Brother Sonny may say, man, you go home. But you know what? If you're going to change your ways and quit being late to church and get here on time, you're going to have to make it happen.
That's right.
That is not going to happen automatically.
Amen.
You're going to have to make it happen. Okay? Everybody understand? Okay. Well, I guess if you understand, I should quit. I really appreciate your good attention. Come ahead, Brother Harold.